We thank you for your presence this morning. We should be so happy that we could come out today, because I'm sure there's people in nursing homes and hospitals and sick at home or whatever, I just can't go anymore, that would do anything to be in the house of the Lord today, that they could come around the table and meet Christ there and also fellowship with us as Christians. So we should be thankful that we're here. I couldn't help but think about that song we just sang, "Into Our Hands the Gospel is Given." That's each one of us as Christians. When we become a Christian, that gospel is put into our hands to tell others. You know, it's going to have a lot to do with where we spend the time. And I can't help but think of the other song that we sang a lot of times, that one day we're going to have to give account. That song is, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." How many people do we pass by, work with, talk with and everything, talk about football, talk about the weather, everything but Jesus Christ? Then one day we're going to see those people, and they're going to be standing there, "You never mentioned him to me." I just wonder how God is going to feel about that. Because that's the work of a Christian, carrying the word, being the example, living the Christian life, and telling others about Christ. This morning we studied from our lesson and come from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. You want to turn your Bible there. Matthew 16, 21 through 28. And it reads, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto him, unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what if a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste the death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." You know, Jesus was always taking his disciples up into the mountains or somewhere to kind of have a little meeting with them and teach them what he was going to do. We look back at the first chapter, that's exactly what happened. He took them and they went up. They were reading among themselves. They talked, and Jesus talked to them. He did that a lot of times. And of course, men looked, and Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. But somehow or other, they just didn't quite catch it. But Jesus took them to a quiet place. And we all need quiet time with Jesus, with our Bible, and in prayer, to be with Jesus. Jesus was teaching the disciples life-changing lessons for each one of them, where he asked, "Who saved you that I am?" And they looked around and said, "Well, who is it?" They reasoned among themselves. So I was He says in verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand me? Remember the 5,000, the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets he took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets he took up. I think that ye did not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but you should beware of the living, the Pharisees, and of the saved. Then he said, he came out of the first church, and he asked his disciples, who say I am? Who am I? They said, some people say you're John the Baptist. Others Elias, and others Jeremiah. He said, well, I don't care what Ellen say. Who do you say that I am? Who? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For the Lord Jesus answered, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter said, and of course, this is talking about the church, the kingdom, that Christ had come to establish. But it seems like the most difficult lesson that Christ was teaching them in the this weren't quite catching it, was the lesson of the cross. Jesus tells them, as we read, Jesus tells them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die. Of course, he is the Christ of Calvary. In verse 21, it says, for that time forth again, Jesus showed his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed and be raised again the third day. Of course, they had a reaction to that. They were longing for the kingdom, but they thought it was going to be in Jerusalem. They thought Christ was going to build a great temple there in Jerusalem. That's what they had in their mind. Some reason or other, they just didn't quite catch it. But Jesus reminded them, as we read, like in chapter 13, multitude listened to Jesus. Then we turn to chapter 14, the 5,000 were faithful. And after that, he showed his apostles that he was the Christ walking on the water. And Peter saw that, and he was amazed, and he said, well, let me do it. If you be the Christ, then I can do it. Then he come forward. And he came out of the boat. He put his trust in Christ. But then all of a sudden he looked around and said, this is impossible. This shouldn't be working. Look at these waves and all this. And he sank. Of course, Christ saved him. Then Christ, in another place in chapter 15, rebuked the religious leaders. He rebuked them. And those apostles thought the kingdom would soon be established. And how shocking to these apostles, thinking that Jesus was going to be there. And here he is, Jesus had come to die. And we look at that road, that Calvary road that he was trying. It began at the manger and went to the cross and beyond. That was the reason he came. In all of Jesus' life, he was walking that Calvary road. He knew where he was headed. He knew where he was going to die. He knew he was going to bear our sins. that he was going to die on that cross and our sins would be upon him. He knew it. God had told him that's the reason he was saved. That's the reason he came into the world. We all remember that. That Jesus died for each one of us. Personally, you, take it to your own heart. Look in the mirror yourself and say, Christ died for me. He loved me enough to go on that Calvary road. He loved me. Verse 22 and verse 23, we see that Peter rebuked him. Peter didn't want to hear it. Peter didn't want to hear about the cross. He just didn't want it. And he told the Lord, he stood right there and told Jesus, this isn't going to happen to you, Lord. It will not be. Of course, Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou favorest not the fact, dear God, but those that be of me. And that's the way we are a lot of times. We look at the man's side instead of looking at Christ's side. The holy side. And we should look to that, the Word of God. The world's always looking for another way to get to heaven. A code of conduct. Whatever man's rules they can set up. They won't have to follow Christ. Religious ceremony, whatever. But we see that even the cross reveals our sinful condition. Every one of us are sinners. And when we look at that cross, we learn just how serious sin is. Just how important it is we serve God. So there's nothing to fool around with. Well, we think, well, nobody will notice. I'll have a little fun. No, we don't look at it that way. Let's see how important it is if we stay in the Word and stay with Christ and follow Him. The thing we need to realize, only His blood can wash these sins away. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. As from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's washed us. He's made us whole. Gold is our sin to his father. He's washed us. He's made us white. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For that he died unto sin once, And then that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, as you look at it, Jesus Christ suffered and died at the hands of religious men. Men that were religious. They should have known. They knew the Old Testament, but they didn't want Christ. And that's the reason we need to look at it and see that religion doesn't say it. Because we might have the wrong religion. Only Christ saves. That's the only way we're going to be saved. Look at Paul, when he was Saul, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was a religious man as far as he was concerned. You see, we look at what man thinks instead of what God thinks. That's the reason religion doesn't say, because we may have the wrong. And each one of us is called to the Calvary Road. We look at it. And beyond that Calvary Road. You see, the Calvary Road is the road of surrender. Verses 24, there we see. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. And there's so many people say work hasn't got anything to do with it. You can't do anything. Well, why is he going to judge us by our work if that's not going to matter? We've got to remember Jesus talking, God's the root, he's the vine, we're the branches. We've got to have fruit on those branches. If we don't, the branches can come off. Just like we do a tree. We'll cut the branches off and burn. We've got to surrender to God through his way. We see Jesus over in Matthew 26. Remember, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Matthew 26, verse 36. Says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and say unto his disciples, get you here while I go out to chop and bring. And he looked up at them, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He was asking the disciples to be with him, to watch and tarry. Then he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, to be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. His life was surrendered. His example to each one of us. Not what I want, Lord, but what you say. See, the human side of it, so what he's going to suffer. He's going to get away from it. But he couldn't get out of there. Then he called and sees the disciples by them asleep and said, Peter, watch and do not watch and be 1 hour. Watch and pray that you hear nothing at that time. The spirit of being is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. came again and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same prayer. Then he came to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So it was time that Judas had come. He was going to have to die. But we see that he faced it. He told God, if he will, that's fast, but it wasn't God's will. We find over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This by being you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery in the equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as men, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient to God. And we need to be obedient to God. Like I said, it's the role of surrender. It's the role of sacrifice. We turn our back on the worldly things and put God first. It says there in verses 24 and 25. Deny ourselves, take up his cross and follow me. We've got to sacrifice this old world and get away with it. Do away with it. And follow Christ. And of course, we become Christians. We enter that road. And it's a road of service. As we read there in verse 27, we're going to be judged by what service and what we've done for Christ. So we should look at that in the light of his sacrifice. He died on the cross for you and me. He sacrificed it all. Why can't we spend some time in service to him? Not just 1 hour a day, but a week, but a lot of days serving God. Turn off the TV, sacrifice that time, sacrifice all those other things, and put God there. And our service should be in line of his return, knowing that one day he's coming back. One day, we're going to have to stand before him. And we're going to try to give excuses. He's not going to listen. It's too late. It's too late. So we need to make a commitment to the Calvary Road and beyond, to eternal life. Christ has walked the road before you. High time that we walk the road with him. He'll be there with us as we walk it. Living the Christian life, living a life of service, the sacrifice, living for him. Perhaps there are somebody else who has not become a Christian. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Then we enter that service. We enter that life. Sometimes we fall back into the world. He says we can pray for one another. We can have forgiveness.